I'm Farai Chidea here with John Hockenberry, and in some very serious international news, we're tracking the presidential elections in Iran. The crowd this week for a speech by the opposition candidate Mir Mousavi was important not just because 30,000 people showed up. The supporters hadn't been paid, fed, or bused in to attend, tactics used by the incumbent, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. Some of them got there after being recruited on Facebook. In response, the Iranian government blocked access to the social networking site for much of this week. And for a deeper look at how the campaign is heating up, we spoke with BBC correspondent John Lyne in Tehran. So are you Facebook friends with Mir Hussein Mousavi?
Not personally. I do follow the internet here. Of course, it's quite an important society here, actually, obviously because of the restrictions there are on the press and the media. A lot of people blog here. We're estimated to be 60,000 bloggers out of a population of 70 million. And remember, not everybody, not even the majority of the country probably have internet access. But for young people here, the internet is a really crucial tool in not so much politics, but certainly society and even socializing, more important than I would think almost anywhere else in the world.
Mousavi comes from the same village as Ayatollah Khomeini. Is that correct?
That's right, the supreme leader. It's curious, this village of Khomeini. When you become an Ayatollah, you take on a new name, which is the name where you come from. So he's Ayatollah Khomeini because he's from the village of Khomeini, which is up in the northwest. It's the Iranian part of Azerbaijan. So people speak the Turkic language up there, very close to the Turkish language. They come Ayatollah Khomeini and Mir Hossein Mousavi, the leading opposition contender, come from this same village, just 3 years apart. So they probably knew each other growing up. And the impression I get is a great kind of tale that they were from either side of the tracks. Mr. Mousavi was the smarter one. I mean, it's smarter in terms of more wealthy. And Ayatollah Khomeini was from a poorer family. And they've worked together in harness. Mir Hossein Mousavi was the prime minister from 1980 to 88 or 81 to 89, when they used to have prime ministers here. And Ayatollah Khomeini in those days wasn't supreme leader, he was the president. So it really, you could write a novel about it, really, about where these two people are coming from. But at the moment, I think they're not political allies, because from everything we've seen, Ayatollah Khomeini is giving increasing support to President Ahmadinejad's re-election bid. I was at an Ahmadinejad rally yesterday, and it was interesting. They had a lot of posters printed up that had President Ahmadinejad's picture beside that of Ayatollah Khomeini, and he wouldn't have done that unless he'd had the green light from the supreme leader. Otherwise, he would have got his knuckles very severely rapped.
You know, one of my friends who's a correspondent who's gone back and forth to Iran as a reporter says that it's hard getting the right papers from the government to go in, but the people themselves are quite friendly. What are people saying to you? Have you been able to talk to any potential voters, and how are they making their decisions?
Yeah, of course, I speak to voters every day of the week. You're right. I mean, the Iranian people are great. I mean, that's the great plus of being here, whatever you think of the government. The Iranian people are smart, are extremely friendly, very, very welcome to foreigners. One of the most pleasant bunch of people I've met in reporting from around the world. Very, very, they really take the initiative. They're very dynamic society. And anyway, what I have found in this election campaign increasingly is that it is divided absolutely down the middle into two countries. You've got the sort of people who are supporting Mir Hossein Mousavi, or particularly the sort of people he's trying to recruit, which are the younger generation, those bright, smart, English-speaking people, women wearing a headscarf, but almost certainly not the full black chador, you know, the full black cloak.
Right.
Whereas by contrast, President Ahmadinejad is appealing to very much the lower class, poorer, less educated constituency. At his rally, almost every single one of the women was wearing the full black chador, the full black cloak. That's not enforced by law here. You've got to wear a headscarf, but you haven't got to go a whole way. So he's the more religious, the more fundamentalist, the much less educated people who see him. Some of them see him almost, I have to say, almost worship him, really. Incredible adulation for President Ahmadinejad in that section of society. By contrast, the people, particularly the people around me here, I live in a slightly smarter area of North Tehran, they dislike him, and many of them have contempt for Mr. Ahmadinejad.
Now, the Islamic Revolution was really all about a reaction against the intellectual class in Iran, and I'm wondering, you know, well over a generation out, if that's still playing out. You've got the lower class Ahmadinejad fundamentalist conservatives versus a kind of reform-minded youth culture that is very much, as you say, the smart set. Is that going to play out in this election exactly that way?
I would really question that original assumption. The revolution was a very complicated thing we're still trying to come to terms with. But it was certainly supported by a lot of very smart people. And I think that was one of the big failings of the West's analysis at the time. They saw the people leading the revolution, particularly the religious leaders, as not very clever. And I can tell you, the people running this country, maybe they don't appear very clever to you sometimes from the outside. But I can tell you there's some smart people running this country. Whether they're running it in the best interest of the country and the best interest of the Iranian people, that one could dispute heavily.
Right.
But there are certainly some very smart people. And I think that, yes, there is, but there is a fundamental contradiction that I totally agree with you, that is going to play out over the coming decades.
From Tehran, John Lyne, BBC correspondent. Thanks much.